Hello, humans! Welcome to Audio Face. This is episode 140. We are an irreverent podcast about the music news and culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
And nobody ever remembers that title. So, yeah, that's what we're doing. So, we have a lot of music for you guys. We have singles from Gorillaz, a remix of Savage by Meg Thee Stallion. We have Isaiah Reed, Stolzy, and Jesse Lanza for our singles, which is the most singles we've had in a long time. And we have albums from Drake and Kaliukas and Car Seat Headrest because
Kaliuchis
is Uchis,
I just now relearned that. It's like to Feel Alive EP is gonna be, I think it's gonna be a longer project, but it was really interesting to hear these just four songs.
Yeah, that was really short EP, but we'll get to that in a second.
Right. And then Car Seat Headrest.
And Car Seat Headrest. So we have plenty of stories and other little things that we will talk about as always on here, but let's go ahead and jump right into the singles. So we have Asterisk Gorillaz Song Machine because, you know, Dan wanted to lawyer me on that so we can talk about Gorillaz every 3 weeks. we have How Far featuring Tony Allen and Skepta. And I like it, actually. It's more the rap-based Gorillaz because they always do that. In every album, they have two or three songs that are rap-based, usually. Yeah. And some of them are really good and some of them are kind of meh.
It depends on
the album. Like Humans, a lot of them are kind of meh. But anyways, I really enjoyed the song a lot. The devil in my ear. Can you smell that? Smells like jealousy in the air. Don't know who they're trying to scare. Looked at the man in the mirror. That's the only enemy that I fear. A zombie knows who to frighten. Just know I love the action, but I move in silence. And right now, I'm just taking what's mine till Elizabeth returns the diamonds. Work on, brother. Time to hustle for the money. Give a change to your mother. Change them sheets. You got stains on the cover. Better look sharp than your face on the. It's shorter, I think, at like 2:30 or 2:45 or something like that.
Yeah, because I think the other it's shy of 3 minutes.
Yeah, because the other songs in Song Machine have all been over 4 minutes, pretty much. So it's interesting to see that this one's a little bit shorter. But I like that in that way because I felt like if it was going to be longer, it would have dragged on a little too much. But within the structure of the song, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, with it. And of course, Song Machine usually don't talk about singles from a repetitive project, but Song Machine's an interesting release, so we can. But also, this song features Skepta, the British rapper, and Tony Allen, the Nigerian drummer, who actually died this week at the age of 79.
Jesus.
He's a Nigerian drummer, taught himself at the age of 18, like, how to drum, and worked with a bunch of musicians from Brian Eno to Flea to Damon Albarn. He was just on The Good, the Bad, and the Queen with Damon Albarn, actually. And he's just like this incredible, amazing drummer. And so he is, I guess Gorillaz probably rushed to release it. There's no like, usually a Song Machine comes with like these little interactions with the characters and the artists as well as like a music video. I don't think this one had that yet. I think this is one of those where like, yeah, we have these songs ready to go. They just didn't have the music video ready, but they wanted to release it because they happen to be sitting on a Tony Allen song. Yeah. But nevertheless, it's really good. And it sounds kind of like, it sounds like a almost Chopped and Screwed Dunk-O-Matic in the background, where it's like synth trumpet, but a lot like slower to kind of match Skepta's.
Skepta sound really good.
Yeah,
definitely like the vocals. Then we have Savage Remix by Meg Thee Stallion featuring Beyonce.
Yes,
I was trying to think of a nickname or something, but it didn't come to my mind.
Thank God.
Hey.
Anyways,
It's interesting because this is a song I said was going to be a hit and it's going to be like a big thing. And it's already becoming that because it's already its own thing.
It didn't even need Beyonce to become a massive hit.
It didn't. It didn't. But its addition is going to make it even bigger, honestly, because it's a fucking good remix. Hips tick tock when I dance. On that demon time, she might start her OnlyFans. Big B and that B stand for bands. If you wanna see some real ass, baby, here's your chance. I say left cheek, right cheek, drop it low then swing. Texas up in this thing, put you up on this game. I be parking my frame, gang, 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 gang. If you don't jump to put jeans on, baby, you don't feel my pain. Please don't give me hype. Write my name in ice. Can't argue with these lazy bitches. I just raised my price. I'm a boss. I'm a leader. I pull up in my two-seater. And my mama was a savage. Nigga got this shit from Tina. I'm a savage. Yeah. Classy, bougie, ratchet. Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised.
It's not like... Also, another, like, thing that's become an Audio Face, like, thing we've been hammering at is the female trap artists are miles
more
better.
Like way
because like
better than the male.
Whenever there's like a remix of a male artist trap thing, it's like the same song but a new verse, and like you just chop that and you just like move verses around. this is like Beyonce added a whole lot of like harmonization with mm-hmm. her singing, as well as a lot of different there's a lot of different like verses to it. I think Megan Thee Stallion added a verse at the beginning as well,
because they made the song longer for sure, because yeah. the song is like 4 minutes for the remix version. I think the normal version is a bit shorter than that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, normal version, I have it right here, it is 2:35.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it makes the song longer for sure.
Like a minute and a half radio longer.
Edit, but yeah, like, yeah. The parts that Beyonce adds are like really...
They're good.
Yeah, so substantial in the sense they add a lot of depth to the song. That's already really good. And yeah, they're like going verse for verse together, and it's really kind of great.
Yeah, so it's showing people what... The female trap artists are just miles ahead. It's ridiculous at this point.
It's not fair. I mean, like... Not you fair do, in the you sense do. That, like, the guys don't stand a chance.
No, you do have some that are very good. Example, you have Isaiah Rashad with a single, Why Worry.
Yeah.
And this is really, really good. I really like this single a lot. Follow me. What about our friendship? What about our kinship? Put it up like uncles. Chuck it out my window. Where about my hands and my new utensils? Ho, just be gentle when we swerving that this ain't a rental. I got a platform where I'm aiming at with no specifics. Now life is for those who spite me with them false advices. Bootlegging my CD. Talking about you bunking. Talking like you balling. Talking about you got it. Patting on my pocket. Bitch, no, I know you from Frozen and Black Soul Operas. My mob is I've heard of him a little bit because I know he's done work with pretty much everybody in the trap world, but like his own stuff is a little I wouldn't say super unknown, but it's lesser known than a bunch of his featured yeah. acts and other stuff in production wise and whatnot. But basically this is what Drake wants to be but can never be,
in the sense that
it's really, really good mixing of trap hip-hop into a song that has a lot of substantial meaning, and the vocals and everything are great and is unique in that way. Right. It's something that, because I'm going to rail on him in a minute, that he wants to be, but he's not. But Isaiah Rashad, holy shit, this is really good. The lyrics, everything in it, because in a time when a lot of things are about love and stuff, we don't have, and especially in the trap and rap world, we don't have that hardcore going into the streets or going into like political stuff and whatnot, and this song definitely goes into that a little bit more, but with yeah. substance, which is what I like.
Yeah, wouldn't you know it, Isaiah Rashad is part of the Top Dog Entertainment crew, TDE yep. in LA, and this was part of a week-long release they did of like, it was like TDE week at the end of April.
Oh, okay.
And one aspect of it, which is I'll give like an honorable mention for singles, was a music video for Sir's song, John Redcorn. I just really love, I mean, the song came out in 2019, his proper album came out in 2019, mm-hmm. so it's like we're not doing proper new singles, but the music video is actually based off of the character John Redcorn in King of the Hill, and basically reenacts one of the episodes almost down to a T, and it has really good attention to detail, and also the song is just like one of the most beautiful R&B songs that I didn't hear last year that I'm happy I heard now. Maybe you remind me of my tree. Maybe I'd be better on the run. Double vision playing all week. Seems like a game of survival. Why am I dying for a title? Is it even worth the fight? When I just end up alone, every night alone, why am I alone? So it's like a tiny one I'll throw in there, but check out the music video for it for sure. Mm-hmm. We used to like shout out music videos more on Audioface. It's hard to do that on a podcast, but I'll link to the music video in the description for so sure. Check it out.
We have Window by Still Woozy.
This is a pretty like it starts off like purposely off kilter almost,
yeah, exactly.
But it's like a really fun rhythm that it has to it mm-hmm. that kind of brings
it. It's different.
Oh, okay. If I got one thing right, it was you and me. But I go in through the window so nobody sees. Pull me closer, please.
Yeah, exactly, because that's what, it made me uncomfortable like the first 5 seconds or so of hearing it. I'm like, what is this? And then it comes into just a really fun, different song to have it up. I've heard a few of his stuff before, but not too much, but I always know he likes to, the stuff I've listened to with him before, he always does strange sounds and stuff, and this definitely does that. It's short at 2:19, so that's one thing with a lot of these singles is they're pretty short. But within that, again, and that's the thing we've been having in 2022 in general, songs are becoming shorter and shorter, but they still have a lot of substance and stuff, which I'm glad. Because there are a lot of things that don't need to be that long, and Mundo is one of those songs that doesn't need to be that long. It gets everything done in this 2:20 package or so. Yeah. It's fun. It's good. It's different.
It sounds, I forget, but in your music recommendations, you had an artist that sounded a little bit like this. I forget their name. But had a really colorful album cover. Meh. What else? But it sounds just like really fun in that like indie synth pop kind of way. Kind of vain. And then lastly, for singles, we have Face by Jesse Lanza.
Yes.
This is a pretty fun little track.
So if you don't know who Jesse Lanza is, she's a Canadian singer-songwriter, and she does most of her stuff, and or all of it, is produced by Jeremy from Junior Boys.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's why the beat sounds really, like, it sounds Junior Boys-y, but enough of Jesse's part where it's her own stuff, because she does a lot of great things. I know she had a single in February, but I missed it, Lick in Heaven. And by the time I saw it, it was in March, and we had way too much music, so I was like, fuck, okay, I gotta wait until another single, because I believe she's gonna have an album out this year, I'm hoping. But it's a fun little track. It's really choppy, it's different, it's fast-paced, electronic, but her vocals in it are awesome. I've always loved her vocals with it, with all of her work and stuff that she's done DJing and other things where she's featured on a lot of different tracks that I've heard. So that's where I get, that's where I know her the most from, is her featured parts or stuff where she's remixed from other things, not too much her own work, but the own work that she's had, I've always liked. So,
For sure, yeah.
It's good, it's very, very good, I love it. More from it, please. And also, Junior Boys, come back. I need you in,
please,
in the life.
One more album. Just one more.
Just one more album.
It's always chasing that first high. The artist I was trying to think of was Dayglow.
I can get on board with
like
that.
Like, I would put it in I would put Still Woozy in a basket with
Dayglow. Yeah, kind of like that trippy indie-ness kind of vein, I guess you could put that.
Yes.
That makes sense. Okay.
Before we jump into our two news stories, I just have like a bit of announcements. Cool. As far as releases go, The Naked and Afraid, The Naked and Afraid, lol. The Naked and Famous got pushed to July.
God
July.
Damn it.
Psychedelic Furs also pushed to late July.
God damn it.
And The Killers is also delayed indefinitely.
So, alright, what do we have next week then?
Next week, we...
Asterisk
Bishop Nauru, who delayed his album before, and Kalani, who seems to be releasing.
No, Kalani should be releasing it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Because, it's already, like set.
Because she's promoting stuff and doing stuff right now.
Yeah.
And Bishop Nauru, I'm feeling like it as well, because
He's already pushed it back so much that...
And he's done a lot of like promotion around it recently, so I think it will happen.
The label's probably like, bruh, can you please do it?
Yeah, we have a lot definitely planned for the rest of this month anyways. Even if all the albums get ripped up from under us, we're going to be at least two bonus episodes this month that are music related. One's going to be a Run the Jewels preview
with Tammy,
which will be fun. And then another will be Sean solo hosting the 1975 updated episode to get you prepared for Notes in a Conditional Form, which is... like 90% sure.
Really. It's good. Yeah, like they can't delay it more. Like,
yeah,
that would be, that would actually hurt them if they did that. So
yeah. At this point. So we do have things. We do have music. Make sure you subscribe to Audio Face and whatever podcast app you're using. Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcast. I saw a lot of folks did that. So thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Now let's go right into the news. Two stories, and then we'll go to Drake's album.
Yeah, so we have former No Little Bitch Offset and Friends virtual concert in Atlanta. I'm never not call him an a little bitch, but he's got a former a little. It stains
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah, it's always gonna sting.
Shit, why am I blanking on who's 2020's a little bitch? Why am I completely blanking on that? Oh my god, you're blanking too? Wow. I hate
well, this. Well, hang on.
This is what happens when a global pandemic hits us. We don't even remember what awards we've given.
It didn't hit me that 2019 is over and just right. happened. This is like the worst year of my life. Noted little bitch is... that was DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. We haven't heard about it. I was going to say something really bad.
Okay, but we're going to tap the brakes.
We're going to tap the brakes right there.
Anyway, so Offset and Friends did a concert, and it's really interesting because there are, this was done in Oculus VR. Yes, so there are Instagram live concerts, there's Travis Scott's Fortnite concert. Mm-hmm. This one's in virtual reality.
And for those of you who haven't experienced virtual reality, it is very trippy. It's... Now the technology is ridiculous to where it really immerses you into completely feeling like you're in that world, whatever it is. It could be like Gorillaz did a virtual reality
Music the video, Saturn which is bars
that's the first time I ever experienced VR, and that was weird. I don't want to ever see Murdoch's dick in my face ever again.
Murdoch's dick in 360 degrees is an experience and a half. Thank you, Jamie Hewlett.
And another time is our on Friend Systems that do it for video games. And for video games, they super immerse you now where it's... Remember when they first started, it was pretty good, but you had way too many wires. Now there's so many wireless sets to where it's like, I've seen people and stuff with scary games and stuff where it just, you get so immersed where you feel like it's real and people can get tripped out with it. And I was talking about this last week about Twitch and with concert, like they should do more things like this, is getting the technology and stuff from video games and joining the video game and streaming world and putting that into concerts, because I think that is one way to interact with fans and also to get a new medium for displaying music. And as much as...
The situation is being forced right now because of exactly COVID-19 stuff.
But I think it's a good idea. As much as I don't like Offset's music, I think he's really whack. Young Thug's okay. Like
Rich the Kid, St. John.
St. John, I don't know much. And Rich the Kid is okay. Gunna, I like some of his stuff. But it's good because it's now getting it more into the mainstream and stuff of different venues and things for artists, because this is our new normal for the time being, to where to get it out, to bring out the art forms and stuff for people to still be able to interact and virtually see their favorite artists.
Yes.
So I think it's cool.
The performances benefited the Atlanta Community mm-hmm. Food Bank, so that was a good cause. There were
cars. I want a house.
So they basically turned their houses into like VR stages. Yes. So it was like you were like on the lawn of their like balcony party,
which DJ
party
cool.
together, which was kind of cool. There were a good number of technical difficulties.
Naturally, because VR is a pain in the ass to work with in general.
Yeah,
and then trying to live stream VR, like that's true, man.
Yeah, and having a bunch of like celebrities, like no fault on them, but like they're the music people, not the like. Audio-visual equipment people, mm-hmm. get that all working together is definitely got to be a little difficult, but not good on them. At least they're experimenting with new ways of doing this.
And speaking of that, Janelle Monáe, she announces a live stream concert benefiting Black and LGBTQ-owned small businesses, which is more than the fucking federal government does.
Sponsored by Verizon.
Sponsored by... Can you hear me now? Good.
Now Sprint stole that guy. Sorry, T-Mobile stole that guy.
Sorry, come on. T-Mobile stole that guy. Let's get it right. But anyways, she's going to be doing...
It was the 5G.
Or she already did it, right?
Yeah, this already
this
happened.
This just happened, right? Yeah.
She did a virtual concert for social media channels based on iHeartRadio. It's also iHeartRadio and SiriusXM. iHeartRadio is Clear Channel Media. They basically are the radio monopoly. So
they own Sirius, I'm pretty sure, and a bunch of others, which is hilarious.
Incredible. They also did last week was a Pay It Forward concert from Verizon with Billie Eilish and Phineas. And I think that was really cool because it was a stripped down version of both of them together, like performing.
Phineas, because now Phineas gets the recognition he deserves because he's fucking incredible.
Yeah. They're both.
But they're both like, as for siblings, like, goddamn. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, insane.
Yes.
All right.
Drizzy!
I still want to make him note a little bitch for last year. Like, so...
Dark Lane Demo Tapes.
Yes.
Is the album that Drake surprise drop release. But he does
14 songs, 49 minutes long.
It's shorter.
Yeah, it's shorter. It's still too long.
Than Scorpion. Thank God.
Yeah. I remember when Dan said, all right, we got a Drake release. I go, cool. He's like, are you ready for the same song 45 times in a row? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And he's right. It's the same song 45 times.
Yeah.
I'll
start with this before we give like judgments. Yes. This is a darker Drake
album. It's definitely darker. The first song, Deep Pockets, I actually don't mind as an opener. I thought, I'm like, okay, this is a decent opener. I can get on board with this. Maybe he'll change it. Like, it's like The Weeknd. Like, The Weeknd completely, really redid himself this year, and we both liked it.
Wow. Yeah. Early 20s, but I want 50s, 100s, not pennies. I need plenty. Got me ready to flip the F out like Fendi. Whatever's in me is taking over. I gotta bust it down, break it open. Until somebody starts taking notice, then we rolling. Yeah, then we rolling. Then we rolling. Deep pockets on a nigga, I can't find my phone in. Now we rolling.
I'm like, okay, let's see it. When to Say When popped up, I'm like, Drake.
Yeah.
Lovely, Drake. Lovely Drake. And then it just sounds the same over and over.
Yeah, I mean, like,
over.
If you've heard a Drake song, you've heard a Drake song. And for some people, that's like a familiar comfort. And when that's a slightly different Drake song, they kind of enjoy that for the rest of the year. And that powers Drake's, like,
deadass
entire
fan base,
child support budget. But the other aspect of this is because we are a seasoned podcast here at Audioface, yes. I actually went back and listened to our Scorpion review that we did in
2017, right?
Well, Never the Now Now came out, which sounds like 2017. The years don't matter to me anymore. Yeah. But what I kind of said back then is that usually if it's a good Drake album, again, we have to lower the standards because of a good Drake album. But there are going to be a couple of songs on there that everyone will like a little bit. Like, even the most, like, hated music person will like one song on there somewhere. And then it's kind of going to be the soundtrack for the rest of the year outside. Yes. At least there's less outside this year.
But every time, that's what happens with albums.
And so, like, it's the thing that Drake has been done and sort of pioneered, which is, like, you make your songs hits by making them really memeable. And actually, so the way this album is constructed, I would say that it has a middle part that has like all of the quote unquote bangers in them. One of my friends, Vivia, said like, yeah, quote unquote bangers, because it's like still sad boy Drake, but it's the faster paced songs. It starts from 2C Slide, and goes down to Pain 1993, which, let's put a pin in that.
And we'll get to that later. 2C Slide, when I heard that, I go, oh my God, this is him just trying to make a hit. There's only one bar in there which I liked, which was, you have your Nike cross bag with some heat inside or something like that. I'm like, okay, I'm like, all right, that kind of goes hard.
And actually,
and the rest of that, I'm like, all right, the rest
and so
whack,
what you don't get from like the TikTok challenges and the dances is that 2C Slide actually has like a really interesting melodic pattern in the background. Like the little like almost flute thing in the background actually sounds kind of nice when I hear it on headphones. Okay. But like I don't like the song at all.
No,
it's lyrically like flatter than Office Paper.
First off, and then also Not To You featuring Chris Brown. If you ever work with the fucking noted little domestic violence asshole, then I'm already gonna talk points off of you, as is, because I have no sympathy and or no like. You're
no
not allowed. No
that.
Respect. You're not allowed and shouldn't work with people who have abused women like that. And it's been chronicled and everything. So fuck you, Drake, on that big time. Like,
yeah.
Really bad. I hate that.
Yeah, Chris Brown's like still like had his career, but he's been like hopping up in places. Mm-hmm. Not to say it's good, but it's like it's been almost so removed from people's lives now that like people just
and we're like,
know
we're never
that.
And
never
gonna
forget.
Never forget, exactly.
Anyways.
Desires of Future, I literally rolled my eyes about 10 seconds into the song because it sounds like every fucking Future song in the world.
You wanna be my number one, you're not acting like the main thing. I let you play my number two, you barely made the second. I should have put you somewhere where no one could find you. Mansion not in sticks with nothing around you. Katy, Texas, Dallas, Texas, you know a different environment. You got desires. I know.
Because the one thing that really bothers me with Future is his production is, compared to other trap artists, it's literally the same to every single song. You might add one instrument or one little sound into the same trap beat over and over again, and that's Future in a nutshell. His vocals in it aren't terrible. I can somewhat understand him for once, but the production of it just, it's bad. It's not good.
Yeah.
In that, I know a lot of people are going to be like, you don't know what you're talking about. No, I do. Fuck you.
Yeah, actually, so my favorite song in this album is Landed. But here's the exact reason why. It's because it sounds like a mix of Nonstop, which is the
Nonstop,
song
which is the song, one song I liked on Scorpion.
Scorpion. Yeah. So it's like there's a certain brand of song that Drake remakes over and over again.
B- big, like. Big bass, bass line in the back, which is really simple, and then have a little small trap beat going on it, and yeah. There you go.
Like a pretty tough trap beat, like Drake rap. Yeah. Drake and his like trying to flex.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's totally fine. But also sounded like a weirder mix of like Num Num Juice from Schoolboy Q because it tried to play with like a syncopation of how the note goes. Off with it. Bought an air Drake, then we taking off in it. Yeah, and if I got a lane, I'ma stick it. Ay, yeah. Baby, let it go and you gon' miss it. Wrote this with the Cartier pen, do I sound different? Yeah, you always said I changed, I'm just now switching. Hey, hey, what? Hey, hey, I done dozed off. I done got a different number cause I'm closed off. Used to hit the bitch and now she wanna, now she wanna call me like she doesn't know that phone's off. Wait, I just met a friend and now I'm like the last off. Note sounds yeah, like it's off key or like it shouldn't even go there. But that's the thing. It, D Pharrell is also gonna be the one that like, is probably going to be like the hit off of the album.
And it's not good.
And it's, I've heard like six versions.
Lil Uzi Vert's entire album is way better than D4L or Desires or anything on this album by far.
Wow.
100%. No cap.
Noted Uzi hater.
And I don't like Uzi's songs at all. It's grown on me a little bit. So some of the songs, like Zerski, is kind of hilarious now to listen to it. But
you like Prices now.
Yeah. But it's the fact that, as much as I didn't like the production on it, it's at least a little different than some of his previous works. Drake, you can put any single song on this and put it into his albums from the past decade and it'll go into any single album. There's been no real, there hasn't been too much change into his style and everything, which is one of my biggest critiques on any artist. I say, try to change your sound, try to change it to evolve and do different things with it, but he doesn't. So that's one thing that I always grab about him. There's one song I like from Drake a lot, Just Come On, We're Going Home, because that sounds very different to a lot of his works. And that song fits into that album, but you can't put that in other albums. But that's one song out of the 40,000 that he's made that all sound the fucking same. So,
which then brings us to Payne 1993 with Playboi Carti.
So the first one of 2020. I'm nominating that for the worst song on Flat Green Nuked Hawaii Coronavirus Earth.
I added the what's going to be 2020.
Dude, it's going to be like bleach drinking. Bleach drinking coronavirus.
It is worst music on Flat Scorched Earth Nuked Hawaii No Quid Pro Quo Bleach Injection 2020.
There you go. That's how bad Payne 1993 is. So the beat on it actually isn't bad. Like the production of it, I go, okay, this is kind of a cool beat. Drake's part in it's whatever. I thought this was going to be the hit for him. I'm like, this is kind of like Nonstop in that way. I'm like, okay, I can get on board with this. Then you get to Playboi Carti's part and holy fucking shit. I had to pause them. Like, this is a joke, right? Niggas just got accept. I put that top left. I love my Crotty to death. Hype Williams, little ex. If he don't say it direct, could give a fuck. Rex, I live my jeans and they rex. Lemons, I live my teeth. I call up the gotta go your back. I throw them rex in. I hope to God this is a joke. I keep playing. I'm like, it's still going. Drake comes back on. I'm like, okay, it's whatever. Playboi Carti comes back. I go, holy shit, he's not kidding. This is really bad. It's like if Swae Lee drank a bottle of helium, which I don't know how you possibly can do that, but drink a bottle of helium, injected him with...
Just inhaled it like mouth to canister.
Yes, he inhaled a bottle of helium, had some morphine, like horse tranquilizer morphine, and did a song. That's how bad Playboi Carti sounds.
And like...
That's not no fun, Swae Lee. It's just a high pitched voice.
Playboi Carti's like baby flow thing. I like it. There's the song Kid Cudi that never got released that I think is amazing.
Yeah.
There's also a song he released recently, Atme, where like is actually like it's not as good as the Kid Cudi song, but it's like close and it's a similar kind of style where like the melody sounds kind of good. Mm-hmm. The baby voice thing is a thing, but I think it's something you can get used to. Right here, it just like falls flat and it's fucking terrible.
It is.
The best thing going for this album is that it's shorter than most albums Drake has made recently. 50 minutes. I could have shaved like 10 minutes off of this.
I could have shaved 50 minutes off of this.
Yeah.
Just stop giving it and stop accepting false icons.
Since this was a surprise Reject album, false icons. Since this was a surprise album, I actually expected worse. I mean, I didn't really have many expectations, I guess. And I always usually
it's just the main thing. It's
Drake albums, but
it's the main thing with him is it's. It lacks inspiration for creating music, really. because it just it shows you a how easy it is to make that style of music, because it doesn't really take that much effort. But at the same time, it's just he's not pushing anything forward, and people are just like, "Oh my god, this is so great!" It really isn't. Go into a bunch of different, because the thing with 2020, there's been a lot of great music. And this is going to be a thing that's going to take over a lot of the good music, because it's going to be into the front headlines and stuff of all these different radios and stuff that doesn't, and he doesn't deserve any of that. There's a lot of other artists that deserve it.
That there will be one song or two songs that you like on this soundtrack to the rest of the year, but it's overall not really a great work. No one goes like, I love listening to Scorpion all the way through. Like, other than Hold On, You're Coming Home, the album that was on, there's never been like a Drake album I've wanted to listen to all the way through, really.
No.
Okay. Arbitrary scale time. We're using state governors.
Yes.
Whoever's the governor of whatever state. I'm giving this a Greg Abbott of Texas.
Greg Abbott, yeah, see, that's Texas. Yep.
Yeah. Where the governor said, I think it was actually the lieutenant governor, to be fair.
Yes, the lieutenant governor was like,
that's... He said, like, sorry, if old people have to die, capitalism needs to keep going.
Yeah, that's the lieutenant governor who said that, which is wild. This is a solid Brian Kemp, because when you are a Republican and Trump is like, dude, you're too right for me, you know it's bad.
Brian Kemp of Georgia, who's like, we're going to open everything immediately. And Trump's like, you're going to have to take 20% off there, bud.
Like, if Trump tells you, like, you got to chill, you know you're bad.
Trump's like, you're going to actually kill my niece. Like, please stop.
That's pretty funny. So South by Southwest is being sued over their ticket refund policy for their 2020 festival. So it's, I guess it's they're having a breach of contract and unjust enrichment for not offering refunds for South by Southwest, because it took place in the middle of March, I believe. Right?
Didn't happen.
Oh yeah, it was supposed to happen in March, as it does every year, the 13th through 22nd of March, and they were forced to cancel it because of, you know, some things happened. But they didn't refund. They have a strict no refund policy, but since they canceled it, they're like, we have a strict refund policy and it's not going to happen.
The argument is saying that they're arguing that A, it's in our terms of service that we're not going to refund for any reason, including acts of God, travel-related problems, terrorism, loss
acts
of employment.
Acts of God.
Acts of God is a legal term.
Acts of God is a legal term, so what if you just have a plague of locusts,
like, no, in the Bible? That's an act of God. Like, literally, like, hurricane is considered an act of God. It's one of those things where it's like, legal precedent.
What if I press the nuke button? Is that an act of God?
No, that'd be terrorism. Put it bluntly, although I'm not a lawyer. Anyways, but South by Southwest is saying that, like, listen, unlike other companies like Insomniac or Live Nation, where, like, we are this whole
conglomerate that has enough
businesses, South by Southwest does one thing every single year, and it's put on this festival, and we paid for all the stuff to put on the festival, and we had to cancel it about 2 weeks before. Yeah. So it's like, you understand from there, they had to lay off third of their 175 year-round employees. So like a third of like primary staff, which is pretty tough, but they're like, if we refund you, we don't have the money to refund you. So it's like, it's an interesting kind of argument. It's not the most like evil thing that's there. That, you know, South by Southwest has always been a small thing.
It's always been for small, usually indie artists and stuff. It's not just been about music either. South by Southwest has a bunch of visual performing arts and stuff. It's a tech conference.
It's a media and arts and theater conference.
Yes. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And but they don't have the funds and stuff for other companies to have. So it's shit. Granted, they did put in there, it's like they have a strict no refund policy and stuff.
So
kind of comes with the territory, I guess, as shitty as it is.
Yeah.
And as much as I want people to get refunded and stuff for them, at some point they just can't. It's not like Ticketmaster or StubHub, who has a metric shit ton of money, and they're like, nah, we're not gonna refund you.
Or like, they have money for tickets and things that like weren't totally paid out yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, they can more easily handle that push. Also, they're like the the bands are paying for a lot of their like equipment and those things, and the record labels are. And I know that does come from ticket sales, but like, you're just the payment processor. It's like,
and the amount of price gouging that they do is insane. That'll just put me on a random tangent. But anyways, Record Store Day of this year has been delayed again, and it's split into 3 days. It's going to take place, they say, through over three socially distanced dates, coming to a theater near you. So I guess it's being split into the August 29th, September 26th, and October 24th. Holy hell, I can't read today. So if you, the record store days, you go up to your local record shop and stuff, they usually have sales or little other things. It's pretty cool, especially if you're a collector of vinyl like myself. I love going to record store days because it's one thing that I've been exposed to a lot of new music and stuff, because that's one of the few times I go out and I purposefully go out and talk to people about music.
Yeah.
Because there's so much stuff on vinyl that I haven't heard about, especially in like the underground house scenes and whatnot, because people love mixing vinyl. I'm like, okay, let me hear some things, let me get some different ideas and stuff for things I want to listen to.
Before Audio Space Podcast, there was going to your local record store and just like shooting the shit with like, hey, have you heard this album? Like, is this good or not? Yeah. Like, what do you think about this? Have you heard of this band? Like, it's kind of vein.
It's how I've learned about some of my favorite artists as well. Yeah. Is from that. So
Record Store Day, usually artists celebrate it by publishing new singles and new EPs and stuff like that. And there are gonna be things from The Cure, Robin, Kraftwerk, Paul McCartney, Britney Spears, David Bowie, Fleetwood Mac, My Chemical Romance, Britney Howard, Black Lips, Kesha, Dinosaur Jr., The Replacements, and probably many others. Yeah, usually Damon Albarn does something once a year.
Sigur Rós did one last year for their 1999 release, because it was 20 years, so they wanted to have redo the sound and stuff for it and repurpose it on vinyl. And it's cool when bands do that, because you get different releases and stuff from them, and it's one way to support your local music store, because they don't get enough support.
Yes.
So I'm glad they kept it, and I'm glad that they're dividing up into a couple different days, because especially in October, hopefully things will be relatively calming down by then. So then it'll give them a chance to go, as if they're still around. So yeah, that gives you an update on that. Now we have
To Feel Alive EP by Kali Uchis.
Yes.
It is only four songs long, 10 minutes long, like 10 very minutes and short. 4 seconds.
Very short.
And also, it's pretty sure after this dropped, Kali Uchis had on Twitter that I can't wait for you to hear the full thing, implying that this is going to be one of those like longer projects that gets released in bits, like an EP. Moses Sumney did a little bit of that, like Ray Part 1. A couple of artists have been doing this. Fools kind of did this last year.
With part one and part two.
But those were like full albums.
Yeah, they just didn't want to do a double album. Yeah. Which is fine.
And it's fairly popular in like EDM for you to drop like EPs, and then those EPs eventually become like, those four song EPs eventually become parts of an 11
full
song
album. Yes.
But so it's a new interesting thing, but with having only four songs, it's like you don't have any room to make whatever musical points you're trying to make. But as far as pop goes, it's pretty good.
I like it.
Like, knocked out of the park to me.
I really like it too. The last song, To Feel Alive, feels like Little Dragon a lot. And it's because there's very, very small instruments on it. It's mainly voice for the last song, To Feel Alive. It gives out that, sorry, it's really random, I want to start on that, but that was just a point I had and I wanted to make. Her voice in general sounds a lot like the lead singer of Little Dragon, but then some of it, Honey Baby's okay, Angel I didn't like really much at all, but I Want More by Need Peace and To Feel Alive, those last two, I'm like, holy shit, if you do the sound of those last two songs, that's good. Like, I would definitely be invested into a full album if you can make it like that. The production on I Want More is good. It's kind of similar to Little Dragon, where you're mixing pop with hip-hop, R&B, a little bit of trap in there, but you make it your own. And it's cool because it's saying, I want a war with somebody, but I really need to have peace within myself. So it's kind of a cool thing. Also, I was joking, I'm like, oh, this is the U.S. government. I want more, but they really need peace. Because you know,
it's a nice juxtaposition.
Yeah, exactly. Then To Feel Alive is just really, really good when it's just the vocals, and that's pretty much it on that track. Raised to give my thanks and hold my baby down. That wasn't enough. No, it wasn't enough.
cause it's never enough, never enough. I let them crucify me, I cut my head down humble. Some people get the kicks for stepping on your dreams, I know it. Kick me while I'm down, and still I get up. Yeah, still I get up every day.
Angel to me, the second song, because we kind of went backwards, but like the Angel, the second song almost sounds like an Ariana Grande song. Like one of the better Ariana Grande songs, which is very
big,
poppy and beyond,
uninspiring like, to me.
A little bit better than uninspiring, but yeah, in that like the compass is pointed towards uninspiring.
Yeah.
But it's not like anything, like it's not completely bland, drained of any sort of
inspiration. It's, yeah, it's not terrible. It's just. I'm like, I didn't really like it much. The other three I liked. Honey Baby is good. Angel, again, I didn't like it. The last two, I go, if you make a full album or something more within those constraints of those last two songs and evolve from that, you got it good. So I actually like that she dropped an EP with this because she may get input from people and everything about it as well and say, I hope you can hear the rest, but maybe the rest isn't completely finished yet and she can hone her craft a little bit more to get something that is amazing.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point.
Like MXM Tune, because something like that, where you have these little projects and stuff, but they're not fully complete, or they're just little things that you have so much more work that you want to do and want to create, but take your time with it. We always advocate for that, because people who release music all the time, i.e. Drake, it's not necessarily a good thing, because you don't have time to hone that craft, and you usually rush things, or it just becomes too similar to your previous work because there hasn't been enough time space between them and there hasn't been enough evolution. It's very rare that you can do those two. So
I'd agree with that. My arbitrary scale, again, with going with governors, is Washington Governor Jay Inslee. Because he ran for president, just like, I'm going hardcore on climate change, nothing else, before Tom Steyer. Before. Yeah, he was just like the hard climate change guy. And many of the things you're kind of saying about this, it's you want to make sure you're doing it right when you're putting yourself out there and getting good feedback from people and on your first time for running for president, maybe not deciding to run for president instead deciding to back the candidate who can most likely have a chance to build a coalition of people who will actually address climate change instead of just placating them for political points and distracting from their sexual assault allegations. Anyway,
the usual.
Another day in Democratic politics.
This is John Carney from Delaware, because Delaware is out in the news. They aren't doing much shit about it. They're just kind of chilling. But I've heard about him in politics before a few times. I'm like, okay, you know, it's kind of chill.
Yeah, it's the home of every single corporation because of their lax tax policy for corporations.
Yeah, even though they're blue state. So the irony of that.
Biden's Delaware. Anyways, this is my favorite story of a week. Portugal the man has the there's a borough of Matanuska Sistina, something like that, in Alaska.
I said, what are you trying to pronounce? Some random province in Canada?
Matanuska Susitna. Let's go with that. They had a school board decision to remove 5 classic novels from the school's curriculum, including F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby, Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man, Joseph Heller's Catch-22, Tim O'Brien's The Things They Carried, and Maya Angelou's I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. It turns out that Portugal the Man is also a resident of this obscure area of Alaska.
Interesting. I know he's from Alaska. I didn't know he's there.
Yeah. Portugal the Man wrote that these titles are often considered staples for junior and senior English classes across the country. We believe the decision is narrow-minded and unpatriotic, and we are not okay with it. That's why we're putting out a standing offer that if any student/parent in the Matsu Borough School District wants a copy of one or more of these books, we'll mail them to you. Just reach out to sticksandstones@portugaltheman.com.
It's rough. As much as I actually, I do like some of these books, especially Catch 22, I do like a lot. There's one, I think I brought this point up on Audio Face before, where Freedom Fighter Gene was like, why?
This is from the Political Report
episodes that we
dropped recently. Those happen when they happen. We get good feedback from them. Yeah. Check out the Political Report episodes.
Or like Freedom Fighter Gene, she goes, why are you guys reading the same shit I read in the 70s? Like, why don't you ever try to evolve or bring in different books? There are some I think that you should have at Staples in general because they're very good on doing new on life, like Great Gatsby, Catch 22. I think you're kind of solid for that, and then there's other ones that you could bring in into it. But this is hilarious that they're like, nah, they're banned. Like, that's wild that they would do that.
Yeah,
because they're like, there's nothing to me that is super that sticks out for me to get banned within those books. I haven't read all of them.
So the reason that was being given for banning them, the flyer said that The Great Gatsby had language and sexual references. Rather than its like point about class structure and like the 1930s, like the Gilded 20s. Age, and the Roaring 20s, mm-hmm. and like playing with that idea of like class differences. Yes. So like
that's the whole point. That. That's the entire point.
Catch 22 features dialogue written with typical military men, misogyny and racist attitudes of the time. But Catch 22 itself was like an entire satirical world being built to make fun of those things.
Yes,
making
they don't
fun of the military
the
industrial complex.
Yes.
And also pointing out how the military mistreats its so-called heroes.
Yes.
And how this can happen in society. Gee, I wonder what similar things that could play on reality today. Caged Bird sings for detailing Angelou's quote, sexual abuse and anti-white messaging. Oh, I mean, sure, then maybe there's some anti-white messaging and maybe there's some, like, talk about some sexual abuse, but that's because it's Maya Angelou's story and also the story of many other women of color in America for reasons that's sustained. Like, what? It wasn't just called Matsunuka Tsuna area. Like, it's, oh my God.
Wow.
There are many more
that's
Americans.
Very close-minded.
There are many Jesus. Americans who just prefer to brush history under the rug rather than confront the important bits of it.
Watch looking back. Looking back, we're going to ban 1984. Why? Because it's too much like today.
because it talks about the media lying, and we don't want to perpetuate that message.
It's like, well, what do you expect?
What was that? Hang on. To Kill a Mockingbird. Like, so back to that conversation. Like, there are certain books that teach you things. Like, they allow people who live in a very removed time period to yes. see both how things were written and what those writers are writing about. Because usually writers are writing about things they experienced in the past, too.
Correct.
So you can see a writer's view of their past mm-hmm. and get that perspective in a really dense
and
form.
Then,
there's no,
we're
like, and I'm part of this too, like we like videos and short things that are on the internet, but books have a lot of depth and they usually cover a lot of angles and a lot of bases. And I mean, the less we have people pay attention to those, it's probably going to be a...
The more people are on TikTok and reading books, the worse we go for humanity. So, COVID-19, it strands a bunch of festival goers in Panama since Panama's like, nah, we're going to close the country until the 22nd, travel to and from. And they're like, great, we're just going to sit here and chill. oh, this is hilarious. The Consequence of Sound article we have, it said, imagine if Firefest unfolded during a global pandemic. If Firefest happened during COVID-19, I would like put up a bar stool and grab popcorn and a beer and just watch what happens. I would love that shit.
Yeah.
Just the hilarity and terribleness of all of it. And I go, I want to see what happens. It's just like from like a pure Darwinism scale of like, I'm going to just...
Wait, so it's like you have a bunch of
observe,
rich people.
Write and observe what a bunch of rich people do when they have to eat each other.
It's gonna Werner Herzog that shit.
Exactly.
With a sprinkle of Alex Jones. With a sprinkle of Alex Jones.
Deadass.
I will eat my neighbor's ass.
Quote verbatim, he did say that.
Alexander Jones. Consequence of Sound is citing a Vice article that reports that on March 12th, 3 days before the tribal gathering was set to end, the government of Panama issued a state of emergency preventing travel into or out of the country.
Yep.
The travel ban went into effect on March 30th and was recently extended until May 22nd. So about 40 attendees and staff members are still stuck in Panama as of April the 22nd.
This is rough, dude. It's a funny thing. It's like how the government of France literally flew in jets to Africa because they had a bunch of French nationals who were stuck there. They're like, we need to get them back. So I wonder if the same thing's going to happen here. It's like, we need to get them back. Let's fly in. And then somebody shot the plane, the French plane too, which is hilarious.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This happened like 3 weeks ago or something.
It is getting real out here.
It's wild.
And before also, we get to car seat headrest.
Yeah, sorry. Go.
I was just going to go to the next story. Drive-in concerts are coming back.
Yeah.
In Denmark, attendees are going to basically what would be like a drive-in movie theater.
But they a
turn
concert.
Their, yeah, they turn their FM radios to a certain frequency, the one that is controlled by the concert naturally, and the artist plays on the stage, and people can stay in their cars, which is, by definition, kind of like 6 feet apart from each other,
yes,
and attend and listen to music. So it's funny, a bunch of different cultures are doing different
this
things.
This is pretty
react.
Cool, pretty actually. I like this. I wonder how, I guess if you go, like, example, say, you, me, a few others we know who like the 1975, go to 1975 concert in our car, we would still jam out to that shit. Like, yeah, if it's an artist you really like and you want to see them, you're just like, you just look outside your window and you're like, oh, they're right there. And they're playing through your car. That would be kind of a cool experience.
Arguably better, because it's almost like a silent disco in the sense that
exactly
everyone has their own key into the sound. But no mosh pits. Literally impossible to have a mosh pit. If you can, it's entirely
wants,
in
Dan
your
wants,
car.
Dan wants to mosh. Can confirm.
No. I definitely do not want to mosh.
Just your car's mosh. It just ends up being a demolition derby.
I mean, if... It would make both NASCAR and country music a lot more interesting, so I would be down for that.
And our last album review of today is Making a Door Less Open by Car Seat Headrest. It's 11 songs, 47 minutes long, and I have mixed feelings for this album, for sure. Car Seat Headrest is a fun little indie band that they've been going making music for a while now.
About
a decade. And they've, the thing with them is that they make a lot of music. They release albums pretty constantly, maybe a year and a half, 2 years apart at most. I remember we did Twin Fantasy in 2018, and I did like that album a lot, actually. There's a couple songs like Bodies I still listen to a lot. Love that song. They're like known for, you know, mixing that indie sound with kind of a grunge, early 2000s rock sound, and mixing it up, make it higher paced, a little bit more friendly to the ears and stuff to it, and I like that. This album's definitely different in that regard. The first two songs, they experimented throughout the album with using more electronic instruments and stuff on it. And the first two songs, you can definitely hear that. And I, whoa, it's different. Weightlifters, you know, the first minute I hated because it was really high-pitched and just had this weird overtone going. I'm like, when is this going to end? And to kind of change into the song. And then it goes into the song. The lead singer has a very distinctive voice, so you can hear that throughout the album. And I didn't really like that first song. I thought it was, I'm like, okay, it's interesting. They're doing more synth sounds and whatnot. I haven't really heard them do much synth before, a little bit here and there, but not throughout an album. Let's see what happens. Fell flat for that first song, so that opening track kind of left me a little disappointed. Can't Cool Me Down, the second track, I did like a little bit more with it. I go, okay, the production's getting a little better. They're still experimenting with that sound. Let's see what happens. Then you have Deadlines, the third song, which then goes back to...
Deadlines Hostile, because there's another song called Deadlines Thoughtful.
That's true. Deadlines Hostile. It sounds like that could be put onto Twin Fantasy for sure. Like that's that typical car seat headrest, upbeat, fast tempo rock, which I do like. It's fun. Hollywood is hilarious.
Hollywood's so hilarious.
I really like that song. It's the fourth song where it's like, Hollywood makes me sick. Hollywood makes me want to throw up or something. Like that's hilarious. Like, it is dog on it, and I start dying.
Like, it definitely has the energy of Hollywood Freaks by Beck. Satirizing the feeling of Hollywood. Although Beck took it in his, like, satirizing, kooky way, and this is almost, like, not punk in sound at all, but punk in, like,
punk
attitude
in tone.
Towards it.
Yeah. And definitely, like, the vocal tone and stuff you can hear, where they're just, like, so fed up with it. Like, why does everybody need to go to L.A. to make themselves, especially in music? Why does everyone want to be in Hollywood? This place is garbage. I go, pretty much. Can confirm. You have a hymn remix, the one after that, which is okay. You have Martin, which I do like a bit.
I definitely like the second half of this album.
I was about to say that. From Martin, basically, to the end, minus the second to last song, There Must Be More Than Blow, which I'll get to in a second, I liked a lot more, because this is when they refined that electronic sound that they put into their first two tracks, and they actually made it their own little thing.
Yeah, and Car Seat Headrest has had, like, synthesizers play throughout, and, like, electronic things play throughout their albums in the past, because I went back to listen to it, and definitely in that one, Teens of Style.
Teens of Style?
I had it in a little bit of it myself, because I remember they'd had some of those sounds they were playing along with it. What they also had back then were like fucking 14 minute long songs.
Oh, but that's when they had like ballads, because that was because Twin Fantasy, you saw them still have a couple of those 14 minute long ballads, but they started to shorten up their songs and make it a little less. And you can get that in the sense
here. A little
more
consumable. Yeah. Because... Well, I know where you're going to go with at least that song, but like since we're going in order, after Martin is Deadline's Thoughtful, which is my favorite thing.
He said, I'd like to do this for a living, but I don't know how. Why would I'm commercial, sleeping at all on a leash? There was a predestined set of symbols ticking into place. A prom queen crown in the background, stepping out of frame. A pair of hands took me to your face.
It's like a cross between Hozier and Justice.
That's my second favorite song on this album, and it's very, very, very good. I really like that song a lot. I thought that's the best of Car Seat Headrest, where they, because this is the thing with Car Seat Headrest, they have so much in an album that it's kind of hard to pick and figure out what you want to listen to in it. But once you find that one thing and you fix on it, it's very, very good. Their songwriting is great. The lyricist. His voice can annoy me at times, but when he hits it out of the park. So that's the thing, is like they're always hit and miss with me. But they're good. It's kind of like Tori and Ma in that way, where Tori and Ma makes either stuff that's kind of in that middle ground blendness, and then other songs, which are some of my favorite ever made. So it's kind of Car Seat Headrest is the indie version of that. Because I was thinking of this album, this reminds me of like Omaha or something from Tori and Ma, where there's a couple tracks that were amazing on it, and the other ones are like, this is kind of boring.
That's fair.
That second half, amazing. I really like it. Minus There Must Be More Than Blood. I thought that song didn't need to exist on the album.
I love that song.
I didn't really like it that much.
Very much.
Because the problem is Famous, the ending track, is one of my favorite ending tracks of the entire year. Famous is a fucking good song. Really, really good. Where they mixed Famous, they mixed so many different sounds into one song that it's somehow made it cohesive and made it their own little thing at the same time. They mixed house, they mixed punk, they mixed garage, and they mixed trap all into one song and indie, and somehow made it work. Because there's a lot going on in Famous, but it's short. If they made it longer, I think it would have lost the point of it.
Yeah.
Before Ender, I go, wow, holy shit, this made me wanting more from them, wanting them to experiment even more than they already do. But it's fantastic. I don't know why I didn't like There Must Be More Than Blood.
One of my friends heard There Must Be More Than Blood as a single and didn't like it. And then
Did hear it as a single, so that might be why.
He heard it in the context of the album and listened to it a couple times, and he liked it significantly more. I like it. It's a very slow song. I think there's a lot of passion that's like really apparent, and it's really raw in there. So that's what I really draw to it, that in like with that song. But I think it's a really good, that 1-2 punch of There Must Be More Than Blood, if you come around to liking the song, and Famous is really good. They complement each other without being songs that are even similar to each other, because
they're definitely very
different, focused in what it is relatively to Famous for sure.
Yeah. It's a good album though in that regard, to where that second half is fantastic. I think that first half, it was funny because it felt like they were stepping on glass, trying to figure out what sound they wanted to make, because those first two songs were very different than a lot of their other work. And I go, okay, where are they trying to go with this? And they put in some stuff in the middle to where it sounded like their old stuff. And then once it gets to Martin Down, they're like, okay, we figured out this kind of sound we want to make within the album, and it's good. So I don't know if it's, I still like Twin Fantasy a lot, but this is definitely, that second half is one of my favorite things that they've made recently. Yeah. And I make a lot of music. Now, one thing for them, for sure, is take your time on your next album, especially with how much experimentation is going on. As I said, as I say a lot, as I feel like a broken record, is take your time, make sure that you refine it enough to where you, there's definite deviations in each album that you make, but it still has your sound of you in it. So
yeah,
I mean, I have a lot of high hopes, even though that's a garbage fucking song. I will have a lot of high hopes for for Garcia Hedris. He did the stupid Pete Buttigieg dance for high hopes. If you ever did that in your life, I have really bad thoughts about you.
Only
satirically, right?
Arbitrary scale governors. I'm going
this
to
is
give
Cuomo.
This is a Cuomo.
This is Cuomo because they started off terrible and they end up doing some decent on it, but there's still some ness in the background. We're like, what's going on in the world? And you're still pretty shitty, but there's some goodness that you're doing in the world, kind of.
I'll go with that. He doesn't like the only other governor I have real opinions about is Gavin Newsom.
This is not
Gavin Newsom.
He's
I have opinions
not Gavin
about
Newsom.
Gretchen Whitmer, and this is not Gretchen Whitmer.
That was, so it was that. Yeah.
Let's just go with that. It's an Andy Cuomo.
It's Andy Cuomo. Yeah.
All right. Quick hits.
President fucking Cuomo.
Please no.
Please God no. Eminem.
Eminem.
He catches a home intruder in his living room.
So first of all, there's a 26-year-old fan who got past Eminem security. What's the problem?
Dog, you gotta look at your security.
Yeah, break-in happened around 4 a.m. in an April night in Detroit.
Detroit.
Matthew David Hughes entered the gated property, snuck past the security guards, smashed through the window, and instead of freezing up or fleeing his own property, Eminem decided to confront the intruder. He wandered up the house and wound up spotting Hughes in his living room. He was detained and grabbed by security guards who heard the commotion and ran inside. Nothing was stolen, no one got hurt. But basically, Hughes was just like, I just want to meet him.
And I was like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. That's hilarious.
Yeah. The article's like, he got minutes, maybe seconds, to hang out with a Slim Shady star for the low cost of a $50,000 bond.
Fuck, yeah.
That's body.
Gonna be hefty. It's going to be a hefty bill. Hope you can pay it, bud. Hope it was worth it. Our favorite French duo ever in the history of mankind, Daft Punk. They're going to score a new Dario Argento film. They've done a film score before for Tron, the Disney remake in 2010, and their soundtrack was amazing for Tron. Like the big scene in the middle where they actually are part in the film, the big battle scene and stuff in Tron. If you haven't watched it, you should. I didn't mind the Disney version of it. I still like the 80s version a little bit more, but the thing with his Daft Punk soundtrack in it made it sound so futuristic and made it feel fresh and new. Like Durazd is such a cool song. But anyways, they're going to score that, which is going to be interesting. It's going to be... I'm a big film guy, so I know Dario's work and everything. I didn't realize he's 79. Holy shit. He's going to be beginning to have shoot his first feature film in 8 years, which is going to be interesting. It's going to star his daughter, which I didn't know his daughter was an actress at all. It's going to be filmed in Rome, naturally.
I wonder how it's going to be, like, if it's going to be modern, in which case it'll fit very much with Daft Punk's aesthetic, or if it's going to be, like, classical in a way,
yeah.
In which case Daft Punk will probably move their sound
which
to
is
be more
what's
classical.
Which is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
But that's one thing that whenever this is released, we're definitely going to see this, and for sure, and I want to talk about it, because
in
we
the
haven't,
theater,
we,
maybe.
We haven't, because last year we did a few film stuff, we did that for the past couple of years, this year,
yeah,
obviously,
here and there.
This year, obviously, we kind of can't, but I like doing that, so it's interesting to see that, because they've basically been off the radar, more or less, other than the few things they've done with The Weeknd. That's pretty much been
Yeah, they've been like producing a couple of songs and tracks, literally like a couple per year.
Yeah.
Randomly here and there.
And that's it. Like Phoenix.
They released Random Access Memories in 2013 and they're like, we're off the grid.
Yeah, which is, that's goals right there. Like, are you going to tour? What is touring?
It's like, we
toured in 2007. That's like the peak. We don't want to tour again.
It's like, why? we'll skate on by these royalties.
Right. We'll do the Grammys. That's about it.
But if Daft Punk were to tour again, it would be the best thing ever. Because as we said before, Daft Punk's live shows basically created the blueprint for how to do like a big festival electronic music.
Yeah, they were the first one to do it.
From like the set piece to the design to even sort of like how to do the mix. Like they're prodigies in that.
That's ridiculous. And speaking of that, their iconic Alive 2007 stage has been designed into a Lego set, and it could actually be manufactured. So this is me gonna nerd the fuck out. Also, we like to end Audio Face on a fun note, so you're gonna hear me be a nerd, and I'm gonna get yelled at by a lot of people for this, but whatever. I like my Legos. Fuck all of you. So Lego designs, occasionally, they can be made by a fan, and they can be brought to the center of Lego themselves and then actually made into a product. Example, my space sets, the big ass Saturn V I have, and the International Space Station were all designed by people outside of the company, big fans of them, and they were actually made into sets. So somebody did that with the Alive stage, and it looks incredible, actually. They have the whole pyramid set up, all the lights around. They have two little Daft Punk minifigures, and the stage has somehow the panels, I think underneath there have lighting or something in it. So it looks like there's a rainbow effect onto the panels themselves, which is the stage does. And to do that with Lego is incredibly difficult, and it's really cool to see. And please God, make that set, because I would be the first person to buy that shit.
Yeah, it would be beautiful.
It looks really cool.
I would love to be seeing it. There's some pictures here. I love like with their stage.
Exactly.
The God, that's really nice. I hope none of this makes even a modicum of sense to me, but I hope that Lego goes and produces
something like that, yeah,
and releases this so people can buy it, and most importantly, you can build it and I can take cool photos of it.
You would get hella cool photos from this.
Yeah,
just the amount of lighting and stuff on it, that would be,
yes. I would use this lighting setup for Audio Face that after 100 episodes I finally almost figured out to do right. somewhere like Annie is just like grating her face.
She's like are you for real, my man?
Yeah, I hope this actually exists.
Please.
What does it mean to play us out?
What does it mean to play us out? I'll write it. I'll do it live. So thank you for listening to Audio Face. This has been Audio Face 140. If you want to follow us at all the social medias, we are at Audio Face Pod on everything, where we do posts, we do different little things, we show off our cats, because what else the fuck are you going to do in quarantine, pretty much, except gouge your eyes out and wait for them to let me do things and not break your bike like you did earlier today. And I'll get to you in that in a second. If you want to follow me on things, you could follow me at SW Suarez, if I trust you.
On Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. You can follow Dan at Dan from the Internet on Instagram and Dan from the Web on Twitter, because that's never going to change. And
YouTube.audioface.show.
Yeah,
we are...
We're releasing a lot more.
We are growing aggressively on the... on the Audio Face YouTube channel.
Audio Face subreddit. Reddit.com/audioface.
Hey, Sean, would you like to moderate the Audio Face Discord?
Oh no. Discord's funny, because I used Discord maybe 4 years ago, like actually as a gamer chat, and that's how I first knew about it. Because I'm like, oh, this is one way, instead of Steam, because Steam can crash a lot with the chat phase, so we use Discord. And then out of nowhere, it just become this entire thing where I just found out about it maybe 6 months ago. I'm like, wait, this is like a whole culture of Discord? What the fuck happened?
Yeah, there's brigading, it's a fun time. Has nothing to do with this podcast.
It's just... Yeah.
We will talk to you next week, where we'll have more music. Also stick around for those bonus episodes as well, because that'll be fun this month.
Yes.
Bye. Cheers. Bye.